CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's Friday, April 26th, and your Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. It's Friday, so it's Oh What a Week, and Ben's talking the top stories with publicity expert Delmarie Cobb. The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader, chicagoreader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. If you want to know what to do, where to go, what to eat, what to drink, you want to find the cool thing to do with the kids this weekend, probably information on all that stuff at chicagoreader.com, but you got to go there to find out, so head on over. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, head to chicagoreader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Bears Lakefront Game Plan Friday, and here's why. Actually, it's Oh What a Week. Delmarie Cobb, dear friend of the show, political strategist, consultant, great thinker, all those things. Firebrand, if there ever was one. I could tell a press release when it's written by Delmarie Cobb. That's for sure. We'll get into the Friends of the Parks in a little bit. The big story locally this week, the one will probably dominate Delmarie and my conversation, is the release, the Bears orchestrated a release on Wednesday of their grandiose plans, their dreams for a partially taxpayer-funded stadium on the lake. Wow, on the lake, a tear-down Soldier Field and build a dome stadium right there on the lake. So much for open and free and all that stuff. And it's interesting, the fallout. I'm going to just get us going with sort of with the political fallout, Delmarie, and then we'll just go wherever it takes us, the road takes us in this one. So just so you know, Delmarie and I have been having conversations on the mic about the Bears and their stadium for months. And there was the Delmarie plan, which, as I like to point out, is the number two popular show in the Ben Jarofsky universe, where Delmarie laid out the argument for putting the stadium at 87th and the Lake. And it would seem from a political standpoint that 87th and the Lake would just, it would make a lot of people, if not happy, appreciative, supportive. There'd be a whole bunch of other issues, by the way. An economic development program at 87th and the Lake would have issues of, like, I suddenly would be hearing issues of gentrification, because there would be a stimulus, an economic development stimulus. That's a different kind of situation than what we're having here, where if you plop it down at right there, downtown Lakefront. Anyway, so Mayor Johnson was wholeheartedly behind the Bears. He appeared at their press conference. He spoke up. They sometimes called him a cheerleader in chief for the plan. It certainly is not going to win a lot of support from the lefties who launched Brandon Johnson's campaign, from who the political community that Brandon Johnson comes from. I'm putting this very, speaking very euphemistically. In fact, I got a text message from one gloating Lori Lightfoot supporter who will remain unnamed, who was just ecstatic what they thought was like a backtracking on the part of Brandon Johnson. And it was a link to an article or a column I wrote in 2013, Delmarie, ripping Mayor Rahm for proposing to spend taxpayers' dollars on the DePaul basketball arena. And it was sort of like, look how nothing has changed, Chicago. So that was one of the reactions. Now, when I think about it from a political standpoint, I think that Brandon Johnson's making an attempt in some ways to reach out, if you will, to the centrist of Chicago. That's putting like the downtown business community. I call this the Cranes crowd, dummery. These are the corporate leaders of Chicago, the editorial, right? People who are way to the right of me or you on most issues, but sort of like Chamber of Commerce folks who believe any money spent in the downtown central district is money invested for the entire city of Chicago, and it is prudent economic development. And so this was his effort, I thought, to reach out to them and win their support. And man, if you think Brandon Johnson, Mayor Johnson, if you think these people are going to support you because you're championing sort of their economic development dream, I think that's, you're kidding yourself. Because already the reaction I've seen in all these outlets, nobody is cheering him on from the Tribune, the Sun-Times, Cranes. I don't see the Chamber of Commerce rallying to Brandon Johnson. I don't see any downtown aldermen cheering him on. In fact, I saw there was like quotes in the Cranes article on a dummery mocking him, saying, well, let's see if he could do what Rahm Emanuel and Mayor Daley could do. If they had this idea, it would already be sailing through Springfield. Already they're criticizing him. He's bending over backwards to appease them, and they're criticizing him. So I don't really understand this from a political standpoint. I don't understand it from an economic development standpoint. I don't understand it from a neighborhood development standpoint. I don't understand it from lakefront protection standpoint. I don't understand it from investment of our desperately needed tax dollar standpoint. Maybe you can help me, Del Marie, been in the game a long time. Maybe you could see things that I don't see. So that's kind of my general overview of what went down with the stadium. I'll turn things over to you. First of all, welcome back, Cotter, and your general thoughts. Take it away, Del Marie.
Well, thank you, Ben. I'm always glad to join you. And in full disclosure, Friends of the Parks is one of my clients. And it's interesting how that happened, because they have been a client off and on for the last couple of years, but only on an as-needed basis. And then this happened. You know, the Bears announced we're going to build a stadium on the lakefront. And of course, they called me and said, Del Marie, we need you. Will you help us? And because they're my client off and on, I said yes. So that pulled me into this fight based on the fact that you said I was on the show touting the U.S. Steel site. So that's the irony of this on my end personally, is that I was actually touting another site, had no idea I was going to be in this fight at all. It was just from a progressive perspective, a African-American perspective, a economic development perspective. Why don't you do something that's really out of the box? And that is build it on the south side. Because nobody's thinking like that. And as you said, you've got lakefront property. You spent $200 million on Arlington Heights because you wanted 360 acres of land that you could own so that every revenue stream would be yours. And you could have restaurants and hotels and residents and everything else. But then all of a sudden, you decide, we don't need 360 acres. We can do this on a couple of acres. Let's just do this on a couple of acres and shoehorn everything that we said we wanted into this little plot of land that's on the lakefront, that's supposed to be free and clear and open to the public. And boy, do we have a brilliant idea. This has never been tried before. And it's funny, every few years, another powerful person has a brilliant idea. Let's build on the lakefront. Well, one of the reasons the lakefront is so enticing is because it's the lakefront. And so who wouldn't want to build on Chicago's lakefront? But that's the whole point. It's the people's lakefront. I call it the poor man's Riviera because, I mean, what other city has a lakefront that's so accessible to everybody in the city? Mm. And they've tried so many different ways to privatize it. When Daley built the 31st Street Harbor. They tried to privatize that. The only way you could have access to 31st Street Harbor and the parking garage was you had to be a member of the yacht club that they put over there. And to Sophia King, Alderman Sophia King's, I praise her for having done this. She, when she got in office and she saw that it was privatized, she was like, no, you can't do that. Everybody is supposed to have access to this parking lot. But they literally had a guard there to keep the average person from parking in the parking lot. So this is not a new idea, privatizing the lakefront. They have tried it a million different ways. And so you've got a group of people who are saying, hold it. This is not the best place to build for these reasons. But again, I come back to the point of how do you go from wanting an entertainment district to suddenly that was private, that you owned, that every revenue stream was yours, to now you want a public-private partnership. And you're going to give $2 billion in order to make it happen.
I do not have any. If you were asking that question rhetorically, I hope so, because I have no answer for it. I'm baffled. I'm baffled by almost every aspect of this. So to your point about Arlington Heights, yes, Arlington Heights seemed absolutely best suited for what the Bears wanted for all the reasons you articulated. Then they had a squabble with the Arlington Heights, the school boards in the area, over how much they would pay in property taxes. The school boards insisting that the Bears pay more than the Bears wanted to pay. And that seemed to be to stop that. And then they shifted their attention to the lakefront. I have a hard time believing that those negotiations were that protracted, Del Marie. I have a hard time believing that the insistence that the Arlington Heights school boards was making forced the Bears to leave Arlington Heights. They own that land, as you pointed out. It just seems so logical that they would go there. Monroe comes on this show every week and predicts, Monroe Anderson, that this is all a ruse, this lakefront thing, and they really still want to go to Arlington Heights. So just using this lakefront dream to exact a tax break for Arlington Heights school districts to force them to give a little more. And he predicts they ultimately go to Arlington Heights. And today, I don't know if you saw this, the mayor of Arlington Heights says, "We're our offer is on the table. We're happy to be Plan B." So weird. So there's part of me that's just skeptical of the entire thing, Del Marie, because it makes no sense. Tom Scherer agreed with you. He came on the show. He was a former sportscaster. He's to the right of you and me. And so politically speaking, the spectrum, just looking at it as an analyst, he said it makes no sense to go to the lakefront. You can't achieve the goals you laid out. So I have no answer for you, Del Marie. You can achieve those goals at 87th Street.
You can also achieve those goals at Michael Reese site.
Well, what's with them ruling out Michael? That's the other thing I don't understand. Michael Reese, ladies and gentlemen, don't get me started on this. Michael Reese, Michael Reese, big chunk of land used to be Michael Reese Hospital, just south of Soldier Field, and the city purchased it. They were going to put the Olympic Village in there. That was a debacle. Cost us so much in tax payers. $95 billion. Do you buy the Bears' argument that it's too narrow? That because there's trains underneath, they can't build there? To me, seems like a made-up argument. Go ahead.
Well, one of the articles I saw said they would have to displace residents. That did not come up yesterday, but then they said it was too narrow. And then the other thing they said was the railroad tracks, active railroad tracks. So my question is, I just have one question for that. Have they talked to the developers of that site? I have a couple of questions. Did they do a site visit? How do they know it's too narrow? You had to have talked to someone to come to that conclusion. And that would be my follow-up questions. And yes, as one reporter said to me, yes, but they would have to buy that from the developer. I said, yes, they would have to buy that from the developer, maybe. But then they would own every revenue stream, which is what they said they wanted. So they would then get their money back.
So, all right, as to the lakefront issue, how determined is Friends of the Park to block this stadium from this particular site? How far will they take this fight?
Well, I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer to it. That is an internal discussion that they have to make that decision. And I don't know that they've made that decision. What the decision they have made, which they've been vocal about, is the lakefront ordinance and the fact that it's supposed to be open, free, and clear for the public. And that's what they're standing by. And that's their guiding principle. And even yesterday, when you talk about what was presented, we're going to open up, we're going to tear down Soldier Field, except for the colonnades. And I guess the additional park space was the land that where the field used to be. So that's the additional park space. And so we're going to invite students. And that's the other thing that always kills me. And I'm going to digress a minute. Hopefully yeah. I'll go back to what I was starting to say. But the thing that always kills me, and this is straight out of the Mayor Daley, Rahm Emanuel playbook, the kids, the jobs, racism or elitism. Those are always the four things we come back to when we want to win a fight. Mm-hmm. You're against the kids, you're against jobs, or you're racist or elitist. So let's just take a little bit of that. So we're going to make it possible for kids who live on the south and west side, whose schools are under-resourced and don't have play fields, we're going to give them a chance to come down here to play on our field and this extra land that we're giving you. Now, your school will still be under-resourced.
Yeah.
But you will have the chance to play down here on this beautiful site. I think the kids would like to have the fields in their neighborhoods. I think that if we're actually talking about the root cause of violence, part of it is that you don't have what you need in your own community. The things that say to you that you are worth it. We're investing in you. We believe in you. We're opening opportunities for you. We don't need you to think that your life is worth it if you can come downtown. We need you to think that your life is worth it in your own backyard. So I have a problem with that. The other problem I have is you can have concerts and you can have this and you can have that and you can have play fields. Well, Grand Park has play fields, but you have so many private events between NASCAR and Lollapalooza and everything else that the people who pay for Grand Park, Chicago taxpayers, only have 3 days out of 90 to use Grand Park. So now you don't have to worry about that because you can come over to the lake. Yeah. And play on this land we're going to give you. So everybody in Chicago is going to be fighting for this little piece of land to have an opportunity to play on it.
Yeah, there's so much insanity here. And I'll repeat, there's a giant site. Go listen to the previous show. We take the deep dive on it at 87th and the lake. And it's a beautiful site. Needs to be remediated. And this gets into the infrastructure issue here, Del Marie. So I've been around long enough to know that the mayors of the city of Chicago have figured out that if they want to sell the public on a major public contribution to a project, What you do is you separate aspects of the cost. So you tell the public, for instance, in this case, the Bears will be paying for the stadium. Not one nickel of your tax dollars will be going to the stadium. So they can say it is not a publicly funded stadium. Your money will go to the infrastructure. When people hear infrastructure, it's like triggers. It's like, oh, that's a nice sound. Infrastructure is good. Infrastructure is a street where I can drive my car. That's infrastructure. Infrastructure is a sidewalk. I walk along the sidewalk. That's infrastructure. And I'm like, no, they're just talking about figuring out a way to fit that stadium into a park. And the roads that they're going to have to build as a result, the turnoffs from the expressway or from the Lakeshore Drive that they have to build, etc. That's the infrastructure. It's not like they're going to 63rd and, Halstead and redoing the streets. They're paving 67th Street. They're going to finally fix Damon Avenue. No. You follow what I'm saying? It's like just because they say it's infrastructure does not mean it's in the wider public good. Infrastructure is just a trigger word that they use quite successfully. I mean, they must have done some kind of focus group, Del Marie. You know what I'm saying? They must have figured this out. Like, if you say infrastructure, they'll buy it.
And, well, I think they buy it because they think that's lasting. Maybe they think that's lasting. I don't know.
Well, I think, okay, so I remember this from the Lincoln Yards argument, so-called debate on Lincoln Yards. And they talked about infrastructure. Yes, they were saying like lasting public benefits go beyond the developer who's trying to put up this monstrosity on the banks of the Chicago River on the north side. To which I said, you know, you could build, if you want to improve the public way, why don't you think about redoing broken roads in neighborhoods where people live, as opposed to refitting the public way so you can build this monstrosity? Do you follow what I'm saying? So if you ask the public, okay, we have $1 billion to spend on infrastructure, let's figure out where do we want to spend it? Do you want to spend all $1 billion of it for Lincoln Yards, fixing up Lincoln Yards? Or would you like to spread it around the city of Chicago, fixing bridges, fixing viaducts, et cetera, and so forth? Do you get what I'm saying? We don't have that kind of conversation in the city of Chicago. We just sort of have a public relations conversation.
Like, well, that's why I tell people, think of it in terms of one pile of money. So we got one pile of money here. We don't have multiple piles of money. We have one pile of money. And if I take out of this pile and I put it over there, then that means I don't have any for over here. So if I give it all to the Bears or the Project 78 or Lincoln Yards or to straighten out Cornell Drive for the Obama Library, if I give it all to that, then I don't have anything for what you said, 63rd and Halstead or 55th and 55th Street or, you know, in any of these other places, because there's only one pile of money. And that is just like your money at home. So think of the money as the same as your money. When you have to make decisions, do I fix my car or do I fix my washer? One of these two things will go undone until maybe the next payday or next year or whatever. So the city money is no different. And so when they're telling you razzle dazzle, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, something is going undone. And all you have to do is look at the neighborhoods, look at the west side and the south side, and you'll see what's going undone.
So I just be clear on this one. It would cost a major pile of money, to put it mildly, to clean up 87th Street, the 87th Street site. And I would make the argument, which I've made before on this show, that that's long overdue. It should be done anyway. You have this, this land used to be this giant steel mill. They say there's all sorts of chemicals in the ground and it's potentially dangerous to build on there without cleaning it up. And I'm saying, well, why do you allow this to exist anyway? You know, it's been this way since the 70s when the steel mill closed. You know, in a sane world, we would have cleaned this up a long time ago, probably with federal funds. So I'm just saying, all right, with the Bears want a stadium and they want to be able to see the lake from the stadium, and you need a lot of open land, that's, you could build your little Bear Field of Dreams there. Just, this seems to be the ideal location, and yet they don't go there. Talk about that, Dumery. Dumery Cobblers, I mean, you got to know, this has been championing investments in Black communities for as long as I've known her. And this goes back to the 80s. So why the resistance, Dumery? Why did they not even look at it? Go ahead.
And what's such a shame is that everybody gets romanced. And that's really what happens. You get in that office, and I don't care who you are. There's something about the moment you step in that office on the fifth floor, and your whole world perspective changes. And you get seduced and romanced by, you know, the headiness of it all, and the people who are coming to you and all of that. Because you can find $100 million, like I said earlier, for the Obama Library infrastructure improvements. This is going to take $665 million for the third infrastructure phase of the Bears Stadium project. Project 78 and Lincoln Yards got $2.4 billion of TIF money. So you have the money to clean up the U.S. Steel site. What you don't have is the will. You have the way, you don't have the will. And as long as you don't have the will, you can continue to say that's not a viable site.
All right, so who is going to appreciate and applaud this? And I've been thinking about this a long time. You just think about political moves. You just, like this is... This is going to win Brandon Johnson support in communities that had been resistant to him. All right. Now, in the immediate aftermath, a few guys I've known for a long time who, baby boomers, don't live in Chicago. I got to underscore that. I was on a text thread with them, and they were like, yeah, this is a great idea. We could just walk downtown and go. This will refurbished downtown, even though it's Soldier Field's not exactly, whatever, you know. And I hope they build a White Sox stadium too. So let's just underscore this point: these are baby boomers who don't live in Chicago and will not be paying it. Okay, so those are the only people I've seen really just out and out supportive of people who don't live in Chicago and aren't going to pay for it. As I said before, the Cranes article kind of mocked Brandon Johnson, taunted him a little bit. You know, it was like, I hardly cheered him. It was, oh my God, I could just imagine if Mayor Rahm had come up with this initiative, how he would have, they would have just, they would have just, oh my God, he's brilliant. What if Seer, the man sees the future and knows how to build for it, okay? Brandon, you didn't get that kind of love. It's like, well, let's see if he can get it done. They're like taunting him. I don't know who's going to support this initiative. Dumery, I don't know who's going to stick their neck out and join Brandon Johnson. So just from a purely political standpoint, who is going to cheer him on here?
Well, you know, the irony is, and I know this probably far better than me. In Las Vegas, the teachers have this campaign going, schools over stadiums. In Las Vegas. Yeah. CTU is the model for every teacher strike in the United States. After Karen Lewis went on strike in 2012 against Rahm Emanuel, their leader, after Karen Lewis went on strike, every teachers union in the country went on strike slowly. So Las Vegas, they're trying to build a stadium. And we've seen their success. We saw the Super Bowl there. It was successful. I mean, that's what got the Bears excited. That was one of the things that got them excited about the lakefront. And yet the teachers are saying schools over stadiums. This is our progressive mayor from CTU. And as you know, Ben, as I say all the time, which is why I'm not a popular person in the party, even though I'm part of the party, there are no permanent friends or permanent enemies, only permanent interests. And I live by that every day of my life. And if we all live by that ourselves, individually, every day of our lives, we would have a city that was world-class and works for everybody. We are in a world-class city, but we don't have world-class neighborhoods or a city that works for everybody. And putting Soldier Field on this plot of land south of the current location is not going to make the city any more world-class than it already is. And again, the reason you want to be here and the reason you want to be on the lake is because it's a world-class city, and this is one of the crown jewels of the city.
Listen, I'm not really a zealot on anything. I'm not an absolutist on anything. I tease myself all the time, Del Marie, that I'm like a flag in the wind. I go this way, that way. You know, oh, that person makes a compelling argument. but when it comes to the lakefront, that's as close as I get. That's just me speaking. I didn't want the Lucas Museum going there. I remember that argument, that ferocious argument. That was going to go, they were going to build it on a parking lot. And I remember the argument by the pro-Lucas Museum supporters saying, it's just a parking lot, Ben. It's, why are you fighting to save a parking lot? And then the greatest joke they ever came up with about Friends of the Park, they were so proud of themselves. They like worked all night. It came to them in the middle of the night. They nicknamed Friends of the Parking Lot. Oh, that's a good one. Of course, guys are so. But you know, the reality is, it doesn't have to be a parking lot. Okay, it's a parking lot. So what you should do is take up the asphalt, make it not a parking lot.
Well, and it technically is not, because technically is owned by the Chicago Park District, and it's a park. So technically, it is a park. And if it was not going to be a parking lot, it should be a park. Yes. So it's not that it's some extraneous piece of land out there that somebody stumbled over and said, oh, look what we found. Yeah. Like Dick Gregory said in his comedy, oh, look what we discovered.
Yeah. No, to quote Richard Steele, doesn't have to be a permanent condition. You know what I mean? That's a great Richard Steele line about this. It doesn't have to be a parking lot forever. You know, you could turn it into a park. So it's not like, well, it's either a parking lot or a museum. No, you can make it a park.
And we see the commitment we have to parks in this city when you look at the fact that Harold Washington Park was groundbreaking 40 years ago, and it still hasn't happened. Yeah. It's finally just happening. And only then did it get put on the table, when it was, we don't want to rename Lakeshore Drive DuSable, so we'll give you that.
Yes, that was, thank you, David Moore. Speaking of former client, I don't know if you maybe still your client. David, yes. And I, there's more and more things that David and I don't agree on, but one of the things we agree on was that one. So thank you, David Moore. Yeah, this whole thing is baffling. And personally, if I had to make you mentioned Vegas, if I had to go to Vegas and put money down, I would not bet on this stadium. Being at this location, Del Marie, I just don't see the political support for it. The business community, which should be welcoming, it seems they're kind of lukewarm. It doesn't seem like they want to stick their neck out for Brandon Johnson. And there's strong opposition from preservationists, the community, and he's going to have to turn to liberal or lefty legislators to carry the water from him. And I don't know how they could do this. You know, at the same time, we're like coming to Springfield. We need more money for our public schools. You're really asking a lot from lefty and liberal legislators from Chicago to go, oh yeah, please give us money for the Bears' desecration of the lakefront. And by the way, give us money for schools. If I, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's going to be one or the other. And so I don't even know why, how like a legitimate lefty can support this. Do you follow? You know,
and the other thing is, and of course I'm not in that seat, and I come from an activist perspective, not a, as I always say, running for office and governing are two very different things. Yeah. But in my world, when the Bears came to me, if I were the mayor, I would have said, let's look at some other potential sites that would actually have an economic impact on people's lives for generations.
To that point, before we move on to other topics, I urge everybody to, if you haven't already, to read Lee Bay's column in the Sun-Times. Lee Bay is a member of the Sun-Times editorial board. He's an architecture critic. Guy knows a lot about architecture. And he also knows a lot about politics. He worked for the Daley administration for a while back in the day. And I thought he wrote a very insightful column. I urge everybody to read it. Lee Bay, B-E-Y. And I will now quote. This should be called the Delmarie Cobb passage, but I will now read this. This is from Lee Bay's column on the subject. Here's where we go. Quote, imagine what it might have done for the old Southworks site at 79th Street and right there on the lake. The team would have had to solve the parcel's environmental issues, but given the team is going to ask for $1 billion in stadium subsidies anyways, why not go there? Big pro football stadium with all the fixings in the heart of the lakefront, the city should have passed or run. And I just say, well put, Lee Bay, with you 100% on this one. Delmarie, had they had that press conference 87th, he has it at 79th. I always think of the entrance at 87th, whatever. And the old steel yard site. Had they done that, I mean, it would just be I think it would be a different atmosphere in this town right now on this particular issue. The downtown business community might be against it, okay? But they're not for this. They're not sticking their neck out for this one anyway. Go ahead, Delmarie.
Well, of course, when I read Lee's column, I was like, oh, great minds think alike. But I couldn't believe when he mentioned the Southworks site. I was like, ah, a man after my own heart.
You know, that may be the first time. Help me in that. If I'm wrong in this one, Delmarie, correct me, that anyone in the mainstream media championed that site. I kiddingly, when I wrote a column about it, it was the Delmarie site versus the David Roeder site. And I was alluding to David Roeder, who's retired since then. It was the labor reporter, economic development reporter for the Sun-Times. And he was putting a spotlight on redoing Soldier Field. Remember that plan? They were going to redo Soldier Field as opposed to tear it down. So it's essentially the same thing. You're going to build it there. And I had these competing sites, the Roeder site versus the Delmarie Cobb site. But that's where the mainstream media has always been. So this is like the first time that I could think of where anybody even mentioned in passing, hey, why don't we put it here in the mainstream media, meaning Crane's, Sun-Times, Tribune, et cetera. Am I missing something before we move on? Has somebody else championed this site?
I haven't seen anybody. I don't know. I can't think it off the top of my head where anybody else has said it. And of course, as I said to you, the only reason I thought of it is because when they touted the 360 acres or whatever, that they have at Arlington Heights, I said, oh, well, if they want 360 acres and they want lakefront, here's the best of both worlds. And look what it would do for the South Side of Chicago. And since Jesse Jr., when he was congressman, already gave the money to extend Lakeshore Drive for that very purpose to develop that site, it's not like the infrastructure hasn't been done, some of it.
It's baffling, the silence. All right, let's move on to another topic. And you said something that triggered a thought in my head. You said you're part of the party. And I presume you were talking about the Democratic Party when you said that. Was I correct?
Yes, you were correct.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
The only party I'm a part of.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. And I always teasingly say, like when I try to figure out what I am politically, I'm a New Deal Democrat. that's how old I am. The ideals espoused during the New Deal, the one I cling to, minus the racism.
Right.
minus the racism. Anyway, it's a struggle with the Democratic Party. It's a complete struggle. They're being tugged in many different directions. And right now, I feel very strongly about this, Del Marie. I think that the November election is a pivotal election. And it's really imperative for democracy in this country for Joe Biden to win. At the same time, so many of my allies, particularly my younger allies on the left, just say they've had it with Joe Biden. They're not going to vote for Joe Biden. And they seem angrier at Joe Biden because of his policies in Gaza than they are at Donald Trump, who would be far worse on this issue. In fact, I go so far as to say I completely believe that Netanyahu is in cahoots with Trump to defeat Joe Biden. I believe that. I lived through that, by the way, in 68 with Nixon being in cahoots with the South Vietnamese to sabotage the peace talks. 1980, Reagan in cahoots with Iran to sabotage Jimmy Carter's efforts to get the hostages out. Demery, you lived through all this stuff too. And so I just work from that assumption that that's what's going on here. I also work from the assumption don't think I could convince any young lefties to vote for Joe Biden. I'm not even sure I have the heart to try. I would love to get your thoughts on this split in the ranks of people who probably most likely would be voting for Democrat in this election, but say they won't. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I couldn't help but when I was looking at the news the other day and saw all the protests on the different campuses, think about when we were growing up and it was the protests for Vietnam, against us being in Vietnam. And so what we're seeing is some of that same thing all over again, is young people who are just not happy with what's going on. And it's not that, for some of them, I'm not going to say it's not anti-Semitism. I don't think that's what they're thinking. I think what they're thinking is you've killed over 30,000 people in Gaza, the majority of them being young people and women. And how does that disproportionate response justify itself? And that's not to say what happened on October 7th was not horrific. It is not to minimize it in any way, but you cannot minimize the deaths of over 30,000 people either. And many of those people who have been killed didn't have to be killed. I mean, just recently we had 21 people killed when the chef was in Gaza feeding people, and his workers got killed. And as he said, clearly you could see the markings on the trucks. There was no reason in his mind that had to happen. And so some of this is just blatant. It's Netanyahu. I mean, let's put the blame on where it is. It's Netanyahu whose disproportionate response, because I just see him as he does not want a two-state solution. And I don't think he's ever wanted a two-state solution. And as terrible as October 7th was and is, he's using it as an excuse to do what he wanted to do anyway. And what young people have to understand, in terms of, at least in my view, is Trump is also responsible for this. Because when Trump decided to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, which everybody in that region claims Jerusalem, he had to know that people were going to respond at some point. I mean, that didn't help the situation there at all. And so to have him run around and point fingers at Biden as if he is totally innocent of what's going on in Palestine and Israel is, you know, that's a lie. But of course, everything he does is a lie. So that's not unusual. But we've got to put this all in perspective as young people. They have to understand that, again, you are not going to agree with any elected official 100% of the time. That's why I said there's no permanent friends or permanent enemies, only permanent interests. So you have to decide, yes, I don't agree with you on this, and I'm going to fight you on this. Yes, I'm going to fight you on this. But I also know that I'm going to vote for you because the alternative would be a whole lot worse.
Well, I'm going to take issue with something you said when you said they have to decide. And here's the reality. They don't have to do anything. They can decide not to vote for either candidate. They could decide not to listen to you. They can decide that they're right and you're wrong. They could decide that you and me are just old fossils. We could go on and on. There was an incredibly compelling essay written in today's New York Times by Nicholas Kristof about all the mistakes Biden has made. And when I read that, Del Marie, I was like, yeah, maybe I should. All the mistakes he's made on Gaza, I should say. And I was like, he put it together so well. And it was, and I was like, this is what young people have been telling me for months now. Ultimately, no,
and I agree. And I agree 100%. I think there's been a lot of mistakes, believe me. And I understand what you're saying is that they don't have to. But see, my position is, and that does come from the fact that we've been here, we've seen this movie before, and we know how it's going to end. So they can say what they want to say about being a fossil, but there is some value in having seen things unfold already before you. And one of the things that we know is that if you don't vote, and this is what I tell young people, in the primary, and I've talked to you about this, there's hardly a person I've ever voted for in the primary who became president. I think I can count them on one finger, who I voted in the primary who became president.
Okay.
Because to me, the primary represents my aspirations.
Yeah.
I'm voting for what I would love America to be. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, most of the people don't share my thoughts, so otherwise my candidate would have been the president or the nominee. But when we come to the general, and there's two people standing, I do have to make a decision, whether I want to or not, as to which of these two is going to best represent my values. Now, not 100%, but come the closest to my values. And so I do have to make a choice. I do. Now, they can decide not to, but them deciding not to will get us what we got in 2016. And we see all the things we've lost as a result of that decision of not voting for the Democratic nominee. So if you want to continue to lose ground and 50 and 60 years of fighting, and you want to go back to zero, then that's what you do. That's what you do.
Yeah, I feel the same way ultimately. But you know what? You and I are the same generation. we kind of view the world the same way. So it's just a different dialogue that's happening there. We'll close with this. Other piece of madness from the state of Idaho to get your thoughts on this. I don't know if you followed. So much news happened this week. In all sorts of areas. I feel I've covered all the Trump news with Monroe, so I'll stay away from Trump for a moment. That hush money case is a piece of work, though. Idaho, man, I don't know if you saw this or listened to the arguments so I'll sum them up for you, Del Maria, and for our listeners who probably may not have heard it. So Idaho has passed a law that has essentially outlawed abortion in the state of Idaho, and they make exceptions if rape, incest, or the woman's life is in danger. But then that's a real gray area. but what constitutes a woman's life in danger, and who decides that? Does the doctor decide that, or does a prosecutor decide that in the aftermath? And the federal government has taken Idaho, the Biden administration has taken Idaho to court on this issue. Their position is that Idaho is mandated by federal law to allow doctors to make this decision on their own and have the abortion if they believe the woman's life's in danger. The state of Idaho says no. It's beyond the doctor. And they put so much pressure on doctors that doctors are holding back on some crucial medical procedures, crucial medical decisions, because they're afraid of being prosecuted. So this was the case that's at the for the Supremes. And when you hear the extremism of the Idaho lawyer, the lawyer for the state of Idaho, and for some of the justices like Alito, who are defending the law, I feel like we've crossed a line here, Del Marie, and we have just lost sight of everything. So the woman's life is the least significant, important part of this in terms of like zealots who just are infatuated with a fertilized egg. This is something else that's going to be on the ballot, even if it's not literally on the ballot come November. Your thoughts?
And that's what, and what I was saying is that when we look at 2016, this is what we wrought. So this is what is happening as a result of 2016. The two cannot be separated. And it's going to go on and on for a long time, because in Idaho, they've decided that an embryo is a person. Mm-hmm. And because it's personhood, then I have to then decide if it's stabilized the health of the mother or stabilized the health of the embryo, then I go with the embryo over the mother. And so that's really what's up for debate. And in return, those kinds of decisions can make the woman infertile, so she could not have any more children at all. It can have so many other health repercussions to her later on. And so, this just shows you how crazy this is, that you're just saying that a woman, and this is what you're saying, is that a woman means nothing. It's not about her. It's not about what's best for her. It's not about what we should do for her. We decide, we men who are making up the legislature for the most part, we men are going to decide for you what's best for you. We know more than your doctor. We know more, and in essence, they are playing God.
Yeah, we know more than your doctor. We know more than you.
Right.
All right, Del Marie, we've run out of time. I knew we'd spend a lot of time on that Bears thing. I just knew it, and I reached out to you immediately. By the way, if you want to you want to see Del Marie's work, go check out the Friends of the Park press release. I do not know for certain that Del Marie wrote it, but I have a pretty good sense that she wrote it.
I just attribute it to it.
I see. Okay. And if you believe that, I got some land in Arizona with a bridge. Anyway, thank you very much, Del Marie. It's a blast talking to you. I'll talk to you real soon. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That's Del Marie Cobb. Also want to thank producer Chris. He does an outstanding job. Hey, producer Chris, give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Want more Ben Jarofsky? Just head to ChicagoReader.com. You can get columns, bonus interviews, and so much more. You can follow him on Instagram at Benny J Show. And don't forget to tell your friends, like, subscribe, and follow The Ben Jarofsky Show on your favorite streaming and podcasting platforms.